that you could get them fully bouncing. And I was like, what the hell? I was young then. I was like, yeah, what's age count in a fighting game? What is-
Guys, it's an episode. We're going to start this off as like, you know, the Nursery Podcast Season 3. Now, this isn't started with my normal co-host because he has just brought new life into the world. So he's busy right now, you know, being a dad and stuff, you know, which is great. But we're doing it without him. So he'll be on for another one. But we do have King J in the house today. I'm going to introduce myself because Season 3, I'm Diaz Pyro, a.k.a. Blake King. King J, introduce yourself.
Justin Stennett, aka King J, known for Tekken content. I pro player for Tekken and content creator for fighting games. So yeah, that's me, man.
I like that. So like I said, Season 3. So we are changing up a little bit. We're trying to bring a bit more of the nerdy world in here because normally on the show we talk about comics, movies, a bit of anime and stuff like that, which generally stems from myself. But it's here. We don't really talk a lot about video games, and King J and I, we're working on something. We're trying to work on something. I think is more accurate to say. We're here to bring another element of that nerd world, which is the video games, but also still incorporating with Nerds and Food Podcast, not just one part. So it's kind of like looking into that. I had to bring out the Tekken hoodie today because I'm a child of Tekken.
I was looking. I was like, ooh, I've never seen that. That shit looks good.
I'm a child of Tekken myself. So when we discussed this, from you're working with Cineworld. I'm somewhat in a different way affiliated with Cineworld myself on a much more personal basis, but still, I thought we should kind of get together and kind of talk about that. So it's worked after a long period of time of ups and downs and fixing desks and so on.
Yeah.
But we got here. I said before the episode, that is a cool shirt. Please talk to me about the shirt.
Right, so this t-shirt here, or jumper, should I say, this jumper is basically all the subscribers that when I first got my Twitch partnership, they all helped me get to like a large number in terms of how many subs there were. So I made their names match up to my face. So you can see the hat and my face, because without them, I wouldn't be where I'm at right now. So I just said, right, I'm going to do something to give back. And yeah, that was it, really.
I absolutely love that. That is fantastic. Like things like that are like when you kind of give back to the community, and like I love art. So that is something that I really appreciate. And having what, like when you, the content creator, the famous person or whatever it is, kind of shows that appreciation more than just a shout out on, like not to this, a shout out on the stream or whatever. That's like a part of you now. And they are now a part of that progress. And it's truly wonderful. I really like things like that.
Thank you. It's actually crazy because when I first done it, people were like, oh yeah, but it's got your face on it, it's not going to sell well, but it's actually my most selling merch that I've ever made. So yeah,
I think as an art person, I would probably look at that more than anything else. Like regardless of face or not, people wear a lot of things with other people's faces literally on there. So I don't see why that wouldn't. I get the point they're making, but nah, like it's amazing. It's truly wonderful.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
I think one of the most obvious questions that anyone would ask about content creating and like fighting games is, one, what got you into fighting games? And two, why did you start this journey on Twitch and so on?
So fighting games for me was, my dad used to be heavily into like martial arts films. And, you know, as a young kid and you're watching it with him and stuff like that, it's kind of like you get into it and like, back then when I was young, I used to like fighting and stuff. I don't know. I was just very hyperactive. I liked to fight and stuff. So
Makes sense.
I like to watch like, so I was watching a lot of like Bruce Lee movies and then.
As we all did.
Yeah, like Bruce Lee, Jet Li, like Fist of Legend, all of these type of movies and stuff. And then like, I was like, oh, I think my dad bought me the PS1, the brick one.
Yeah.
And Tekken. And obviously martial law represents Bruce Lee, kind of like a,
yeah, you
know, spin-off of Bruce Lee.
Absolutely. And
I was just in love with the character back then. I'm just like, what, I could actually play a game and actually play Bruce Lee, like,
yeah.
So anyways, now that's what kind of got me into it. And then kind of from there, like, you know, the other Tekkens came out. I went to America one time and there was another guy that done taekwondo, and I used to do kickboxing. So it was kind of similar, back then. So I was like, oh, I played her wrong. And even then, more love into it. And then I just, yeah, from then, the rest was just history. I was just like, all right, cool, I'm going to keep playing the game. And then I found out about the tournament element of fighting games. Mm-hmm. And I thought I was the best amongst my friends. We used to do like money matches and stuff like that. Or we would say, loser goes and buys like food or stuff like that. And then like, yeah, like my friend was like, yeah, here's this tournament. I went there and I got my head bust. I lost bad. But then yeah. It's like, oh, no, this is really good. I want to level up. And I just
that feeling is wonderful.
Yeah. Yes. So that's what got me into it, man.
I hear that. No, I think I had a somewhat similar journey. And quick before I get into that, one of my friends that I work with, because I'm amongst my friends in terms of Tekken, I'm probably the best one and most consistent one. And I'm not great by when I look at the pantheon of the level of Tekken, I'm still like intermediate mid tier. But amongst my friends and when we have our tournaments, I'm the king in relation to that.
Okay.
But I was talking to one of my work colleagues and said he went to a tournament back in the day. And he was saying, because he didn't know about frame data or whatever, he just played and he was good. He played by eye, which is, you know, is what we did back in the day. And to be fair, that's still how I play fighting games. I don't have time to look at frame data and everything. I just feel the game and like hope it works out for the best. And most cases it does, but sometimes I just, you know, I lose. He was saying like he didn't know. And then in his bracket was JDCR. Yeah. So, and like the people that was in it, like, oh, do you know who he is? The guy, my friend was like, nah, I don't know who he is, blah, blah. And then he learned who he was.
Straight away. Yeah. One of the best in the world. Learned real quick.
He lost real fast. So since then, he went home like yourself, learned about frame data and everything, and now he's a lot better. We're still yet to play each other because he's on PC and I'm not. So maybe one day, but I hope he's as good as stated by himself and what the stories you've told. Based on the videos he sent me, he is. So I can much appreciate that, definitely. But for me, in starting into fighting games is very similar. I've always been interested into martial arts and just things of that matter, like any type of physical combat, parkour, anything that was just got my heart racing, I was there. I played Tekken originally. I was terrible at Street Fighter. I was terrible at Mortal Kombat, but Tekken was a lot easier to access for me. And I think a lot of people kind of felt that way at that time. And then Tekken 3 happened. I gravitated more towards Jin and Harang, but I initially did pick up Eddie because simplest character to use. But I graduated further into actually understanding Brian, Harang, all these characters. And when Steve came into the game, three was the heart and five was where I kind of perfected my Tekken game. And then six came in and tag two, and seven is just a work of art for me right now. I can't wait to see what they do when 8 comes out and the characters that they decide to bring in from other franchises, if they keep doing that, because it's worked well for Smash Bros and it's working well for Tekken 7. Mm-hmm. So I don't see any issues. So we've gone through the origins for you. You're like way to where you are now and you're doing the Twitch. I was actually streaming today, which is kind of why I was late today. So I was playing Hades. So I'm jumping into the Twitch and streaming platform, trying to do that, which is also a part of the Nerds and Food podcast journey that we're going on as well. What other fighting games or just other games that you kind of have that desire for? Because I'm a big fan of Street Fighter, like from Third Strike and 4 are my favorite ones. What other fighting games are you kind of like, you know, involved with?
I'd say it's definitely fighting games. So like I could pick up any fighting game right now and just know it's, whether it's to do with footsies, jumping, combos, I'll learn that straight away easy and it's, the rest is history. But I'd say the ones that I like the most is Tekken, Street Fighter. Dead or Alive gets an honorable mention, but it's not one of my favorites. Yeah, it's not one of my favorites.
I think for most quote unquote stereotypical males our age, Dead or Alive will always get a mention that's honorable or dishonorable, depending on your viewpoint. For what it brought to the table, it didn't care what it was. It knew what it was. It delivered on what it was, and the mechanics I think for Dead or Alive are very unique. I think. Because
I think they're Marmite. Very like, if you either love it or you hate it.
Yeah, it's very Marmite. Once you get the taste for it, it's an acquired Marmite taste. I think that's kind of what it is. Because if you're looking on the outside, you're looking, it's very visual. And when you look at the women of the game, it's definitely very visual. It's very flashy. But the combat system, it's so simple, yet very complicated at the same time. Or at least that's how I thought about it when I was playing it. Because I pick it up, but it's also just like, this doesn't feel right as a 3D, because I'm used to Tekken and Virtua Fighter, where it's a bit more straightforward in how it works, as opposed to just, it's kind of a two-button game, really, with a parry system, if that makes sense.
Basically, yeah. You got the counter button, and you got throw button. So it's the game to me. Like, I remember Dead or Alive 1, where they had like the bouncing assets, and if you change the age, you could change the age to 99, that you could get them fully bouncing. And I was like, what the hell? I was young then. I was like, what's age count in a fighting game? What is that? And then when I started looking on game FAQs, because that's what we used to do back in the day, is you go on game FAQs and search up all sort of stuff. We never had YouTube. We never had all of
No YouTube, no Reddit. Actually, I think Reddit may have been there a little bit. I don't think so.
Yeah, because we was looking at like Yahoo. It wasn't even Google back then.
Ask Jeeves.
All of those stuff. GeoCities and all of those things. Oh, this is back in the day.
Yeah.
So it's like, bro, when you actually look at all these stuff, you find out so much into like information. And it's crazy. Like, oh, that's what it's for. And that's what bare people used to use. And then ever since then, Dead or Alive has been known for that. Obviously, it's a good fighting game, but that's not what they sell. It's always about the assets,
it's the physics,
the female characters and the physics of them. And it's sad because I feel like they can make it into a game where, you know, both the females and the males are kind of like equal.
Yeah.
But I feel like that game is like, females are in there, but to kind of like complement it, there's going to be guys as well in there. So that's why it always gets a negative stigma.
Absolutely.
Compared to like Tekken, Street Fighter,
even Mortal Kombat as well.
Mortal Kombat as well. Like,
what's your view on the change that Mortal Kombat did, and their reasoning between from the origins of the game and up until 11? Because I know there's kind of been it's very polarizing what's happened with the costumes that they changed for specifically the women. Typically they're scantily clad, more or less. And in 11, they decided to change that. What's your view on their reasoning behind it and the change itself?
I feel like with Mortal Kombat 11, I feel like they changed it because they didn't want... Because they look a lot more covered up now compared to how it was in like the previous
games. Yeah.
And I feel like that's purely because of they probably got a lot of complaints. Because remember, there's a lot of people in like, you know, Middle East that play these games as well. And obviously those things are quite bad to have characters where their chest... section is just really out there, you know. It's the same type of thing that, you know, Laura in Street Fighter 5, a lot of people kind of complained about. Like, we had a player in the UK that was really against it, and I was like, raw, like, I didn't really understand it, but then obviously asking the player, they were like, yeah, because of in Middle East, it's kind of frowned upon to be like just have your chest out there like that.
True.
So I think it just was to appeal to everyone. Like, they could look beautiful, face-wise and stuff, but it doesn't need to be, chest out. And,
yeah.
Because that's what you're trying to basically say. That's all women are, is face out, chest out. So they wanted to make it like, oh, yeah, you're caring about the character for them rather than the assets.
I completely agree. And I think people, when it comes to making a game, you make the game that you want to make, regardless of whatever it else. If it's going to sell, because Mortal Kombat 11 is still... but the highest selling Mortal Kombat they've made anyway, despite a lot of people, once it's come out, not really feeling it as much as they did X or even 9. I think the reasoning that NetherRealm gave behind it's meant to be more realistic for a fighting game, in a fighting scenario.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of where they lost a lot of people, because if we're looking at realistic, Cassie Cage probably has the most realistic fighting gear with her training gear in Mortal Kombat X. But you look at Melina, she's got long flowing clothes, Jade long flowing clothes, like you don't want to be grabbed. So I was watching a video by, I can't remember his name, True Underdog Gaming. And he was explaining a lot of things, and I'm just like, I get some of the points that he's making, but in terms of their reasoning, I don't agree with the reasoning in comparison to the result that we got. If they just came in and said, hey, we're just trying to less hypersexualize the women in the game, I mess with it 100%. And I agree that that's a very valid reason for the games. I also do think it's a bit interesting that you can have Mortal Kombat, which is known to be hyper everything. Blood, guts, gore. And I wouldn't say they directly sexualize the women or the men, but yes, there's flesh being shown, absolutely. So it is very interesting, their reasoning, but I still like the game. It looks beautiful, it plays well. I personally prefer X's gameplay because it's a lot more combo oriented and I just like combos. But that was something that I know has been a hot topic, or at least was a hot topic, and it seems to be making a bit of a resurgence through those videos by True Underdog and a couple other people. I was just wondering your thought on that as someone who plays Tekken, which is a lot more conservative, I guess you could say, and a lot more realistic in terms of its clothing.
So now that you brought that part into the debate, it's good because I'm looking at it thinking the game is 18 plus, so it doesn't make sense to cover them up. You are seeing fatalities where they're seeing their guts or their body just ripped apart. So it doesn't really make sense. Like if you're 18 plus game, you might as well just
do it,
go all out. So it doesn't make sense. But then again, I feel like it still bounces back to that whole Middle East thing, because even though the game is 18 plus, you're not seeing any like breasts and like parts like that. You're just seeing the characters and their insides getting ripped out. So that's why mainly it was an 18 plus game.
Yeah.
However, when you look at Sonya in all of these games, she's always wearing that white top and it's quite, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I don't know. It's definitely a weird one. Tekken don't really have stuff like that apart from like Katarina, Eliza. Because even like in Tekken Revolution, if you done the throw where she bites you, her breasts get bigger. But people didn't realize. I don't know if people realize that. Like, if she bites you, her breasts get bigger. I think they took that out of Tekken 7, though. I don't know.
It wouldn't surprise me. It's not something that that feels very heavy on the fan service, I think, and it doesn't really add anything to the game. I think if it adds to the overall vibe of the game, great. Like, you've got Lee Chowlan, who's very much, in terms of his endings, a joke character. But even though in the main story, he's pretty serious. So you have a lot of things. So in Tekken 5 endings, you had Lee Chowlan being the butler or so, and Heihachi being the butler wearing what their sumo gear. And it was very funny and comical. So you do have kind of the flip side of things. So I can see what NetherRealms did. And Namco is wonderful when it has fun. So there's certain characters that can get away with things. And I think the hyper, not necessarily over, I don't know if I'm the right person to kind of state that, but definitely the hyper sexualization in terms of the clothing of the women, because I wouldn't say any of the women in Mortal Kombat are sexualized in that context, but definitely their clothing is very sexualized, if that makes sense.
I definitely agree.
No, definitely. I think it's good that they're doing that, and it reminds me of when Injustice, the first one, came out when it came out in the Middle East, it was changed to Heroes Among Us as opposed to Gods Among Us with its subtitle name. So I did find that very interesting because of how like the religious side of that kind of affected just the naming of the game, as opposed to like normally America and England might have a different name, or Europe, just for a movie because of whatever reason. So it's just interesting that that happened. So it's been happening for a while, and it's just different that this situation has now impacted the design of the game as opposed to the name. So it's something that I wanted to kind of pick your brain on as a pillar of the community.
You see, with that title, I never really recognized it. But again, it comes down to the whole religion thing, man. I feel like, again, Middle East plays a very strong part in terms of like just keeping everyone happy. I feel like the one thing that you don't want to do is make a game that, you know, we have Tekken Master is from the Middle East. He's one of the players for Mortal Kombat. Very, very solid player. And there's a couple other guys that are around him that play the game as well. Mm-hmm. And I just wouldn't want them to be alienated by anything that would make them upset. So it's like, all right, cool. We want to keep the title like this. However, we can change it in another region. And you see stuff like this in some of the games. Like some stuff might be in, you know, the American version of games and they're not in the UK. Like, you know, even if we go back and dive back into a little bit, like, you know, Sophitia, like she had her own, she had a more revealing costume in Soul Blade. And that was in the Japanese version. But then in the other versions, you didn't get that. You didn't get it in the American one. And you didn't get it in the UK one. So there's always things like that, that, you know, they try to twist it and kind of have fun. But it's like, oh, if we know that this region ain't going to like it or it's going to be upset or they might get fined for it. They're like, all right, look, let's stay away from that.
Like so, with Australia, they have a lot of censorship on games when it comes to being imported as well. That reminds me with the costume, they changed Cammy's intro, I think, in Street Fighter V from one of the original ones. And you had like an Overwatch, one of the poses that Tracer had was changed because it was very, it just showed her back. And it's just like, okay, I find these things interesting. I think sometimes there's certain things that are, I personally find are overboard, but I also grew up in a very different age. It was, being different was a thing. So whether that difference was Mortal Kombat basically created the ESRB for America. Like, so they broke that mold and made this, the ratings that we have now for video games at the very least, be a thing. So my eyes are probably a bit more desensitized to certain images in terms of video games at the very least. And growing up, like seeing certain movies or whatever that had an age 15 or whatever, I think that might be part of why I say, well, actually, it's just there. It exists. It's not sexualized. It is just what it is, whether that's a topless man or in Cammy's case, it was she was wearing, it was her legs and her costume barely covered her butt. That is one of those things. And the pose kind of had the intro. So I get the point, but it's just one of those people. Sometimes you'd understand the difference between sexualization and this is how this person introduces themselves or whatever the situation is. But again, it's very individual. I think that's kind of very important to remember. And I don't think there's any right or wrong thing. It's just an understanding and making sure that you appreciate everyone's point of view, but still decide to do what you want to do. Once you're not offending people, I think it's kind of the most important thing once you come from a place of understanding, I think.
Yeah. No, I agree, man. I feel like also as well, like, I think Fortnite changed her costume from what it was because she's featuring in Fortnite. And I'm like, like, okay. And even like, Guile looks different. Guile's got a stubble.
Guile in Fortnite looks rigged. He looks like a cosplay version
of Guile.
And it's very, very, Cammy looks like Cammy for the most part. But Guile looks like if someone was in real life that cosplayed and then that person made a digital image of himself. That's what it looks like. It really threw me off. I was like, oh, this isn't, because I don't play Fortnite, but I appreciate the amount of crossovers that they do. And I was like, this, okay, all right, this isn't right, but it's here now. it really, really threw me off.
It's the stubble for me, that threw me off. I was like, what?
It's like, they gave him the Ryu from Third Strike stubble as well. And I was like, okay, all right, I see what you guys are doing. with Street Fighter now, and I think Street Fighter V is now officially done up until Luke comes out. Speaking of Guile, what's your view on Luke?
They definitely could have been a better character for sure. Like, I looked at Luke and I just think the design is a bit, like, it's just a bit rubbish. Like, he looks good. Like, he punches and the projectiles come out and stuff like that. But it just looks like a Superman or a super character. And like, even like the V type of tattoo that he has, because he has like the tattoo with the V and stuff.
Yeah.
I'm looking at it and I'm just like,
I'm definitely not a big fan of his character design. It feels very generic. And I was watching a video and there's like 17 or 18 blonde characters in Street Fighter V by itself.
Bro, Colleen, Ken, Guile.
Cammy, Karen, not Luke, the other blonde dude, the boxer guy that was a Balrog. There's a lot of them. Ed, yeah. So blonde people exist. Like, it's not a shot in any or any type of shade. It's very much, you know, it happens. But it's also like Capcom. You are a game developer. You started fighting games, like to be what it is today. Of course, not the first, but the gap from Street Fighter to Street Fighter 2 is magnificent. And that Street Fighter 2 is the home of every fighting game since then. No one can deny any influence. But you look at character design, Tekken, amazing character design. King of Fighters, amazing character. King of Fighters has some of the best character design ever. Regardless of how the games look at the end of the day, the design, you know it's King of Fighters. When you look at Viper, she's clearly a King of Fighters influenced character.
100%.
So when they came out with Luke, I looked, I was like, it looks basic. And when you look at, say, Abel, he's MMA-based, or judo MMA-based.
He is a B-Tech Abel. That's what he is. He is a low-rate, like, because you look at him and you're thinking, but even if you look at, like, his hair textures and stuff, it just
looks the hair is a joke.
It just looks so messy. The hair is an
absolute joke. But like his gameplay looks interesting to me. I messed with the gameplay style, but the character design, I wanted more. Like, and they say that he's the future of Street Fighter. The game is Street Fighter 6. And I'm just like, that doesn't look like a good future to me.
Exactly.
Like, for me, I'm just thinking, okay, all right. The last time you tried the blonde guy with Alex, it didn't work out so well for you until the third iteration. And even then, that didn't become a big thing until Justin Wong and Daigo. Like, after that moment when it came back with Street Fighter 4, when that kind of resurgence of Street Fighter, that's kind of, in between that time, of course, Street Fighter Third Strike got the love it deserved.
Yes, definitely.
So starting now with that history of starting with a blonde guy doesn't seem to be doing so well for you. And using this as the turn up and the review that Luke has gotten so far is not the best review you could have. For the introduction, maybe when he comes out and his alternate outfits, it might adjust. But what do you think his play in the story is going to be?
You know, I'm so confused on like the way how the trailer was, because he's like, he's meant to be the future of Street Fighter.
Mm-hmm.
And he's beating up Ryu. So I know there's something. I know there's another Alex Ryu type of thing. Obviously, in Third Strike, Ryu wasn't the main character, it was Alex. So obviously in Street Fighter 6, you're probably going to get this character now, and he's probably going to be the main character. And I don't know. It just seems to be, because remember, he most of the time in these trailers, they're always beating up someone that's either in a story with them or something.
Yeah.
I can't really put my finger on what his role is other than he's like kind of like the young flame. Same with Alex in this one. Alex is the young flame to Alpha 3, the Third Strike.
Yeah.
I feel like he is the young flame to Street Fighter,
Street Fighter
6.
Yeah.
Or whatever
one they decide to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But again, the design and everything, like the projectiles and that. I might even need to watch the trailer again after this and just kind of remember, because it's not memorable.
It wasn't. No, it definitely wasn't. I didn't leave the trailer thinking, okay, that's really cool. I looked at it, I was like, I don't like the design. It's too normal. And the thing is, what's interesting is that when we look at Ryu, he's just wearing a gi. When we look at Ken, he's just, fair enough, in 5 it's different, but he's just wearing a gi. Sakura, she sometimes has the sports outfits, but typically she's in the school gear. But there's something that was very iconic about these characters. Look at Sagat, he's just wearing Muay Thai boxers. But with an add-on as well. But with this guy, it just felt very okay. What do you do? And my interest in him is literally the story. Because if you're not going to use Sakura as the new main character, which for me feels like the natural progression, if they're going to try and leave Ryu behind as the protagonist, the face of Street Fighter, which they can really never do. But if that's the aim, Sakura makes the most sense, or Sean makes the most sense for me to kind of go in the route of the next generation of Street Fighter characters, not this new person that looks like he might be related to Guile or Nash, or even been related to Abel. He might be Abel's kid, unlike Remy. So it just really, you know, I don't know.
To be fair, I definitely feel like the design is just not, there's so much other designs. Like if you like, think of it like this, yeah, if you like, if it was like a quick fire, like let me see the character very quickly and you know, Oro is his own design. Oro looks
amazing.
So unique. Yeah, like,
yeah.
Even though, like, he's just wearing one little thing, you know that Oro's Oro Akira, you know her.
Yeah.
To have, like, either this kind of, she usually has the helmet costume or the ones with the gloves, you know that's her. Like, there's so many other, like, Gil, half of his body's one color, the other colors.
There's that iconic designs they've got.
Right.
If not iconic, memorable at the very
least. Yeah. Like, what are you going to say with this character? He has a V on his chest that's still a tattoo, and his hair is messy.
His hair it's a problem. His hair is, when he comes out, his alternate costumes need to fix that hair because it is not looking good. He needs like some better VO5 or whatever it is, or something, some good cream or whatever.
Whoever saw them that hair conditioning, boy, they were on the back streets, boy. They were just trying to get rid of it.
Definitely. He was somewhere. They saw him in the army or something. I don't know, but it just didn't sit well. You know, it didn't have enough volume in there. It's just kind of messed up. But no, I'm very interested in terms of the story, but his gameplay and his design, not so much for me. I will wait for that. I haven't even played Street Fighter V in a very long time, but I'm interested in looking at Akira and Aura because I was playing Third Strike not too long ago and Aura is amazing. And that was after I'd seen Aura in 5. And I was like, I love how they adjusted Aura from Third Strike to being the combo beast that he is now. He had combos in Third Strike, but in this game, they said, let's make him the master that the story tells us that he is. He's like, he and Akuma and Gen are like the top tier people that you fight. And in the story.
I
didn't really feel that in Third Strike. But in this game, even though, like, I love the aspect of him, like, tying up his arm in Third Strike to show, like, how powerful it is. They brought up the arm, and now you see more how powerful he is with the moves that he's got, and I completely mess with it.
Yeah, no, for sure. You need to try it out, man. Like, even his super, like, where he just kind of just comes up and does that big beam, and it's mad fast. It's got vroom,
bro. It looks so good. And my boy did that against me and I was doing the parry on it and like in Third Strike. And it's a wonderful feeling. Like it's definitely great. I'll get back onto it. And I've been playing Tekken. I haven't played a lot of fighting games recently because I've been playing like a lot of Hades because I'm really enjoying that game. I'm getting into roguelites a lot. And that game, I like Greek mythology anyway and Roman mythology and things of that matter. So I've just been diving so much. That's what I was streaming earlier. So it's been fun, but like I think fighting games are always my first love. They're the reasons why I play fighting games. They're the reason why I got into gaming as it is. Like from not being able to play anything in Mortal Kombat and Street Fighter, then like I said, getting into Tekken, and then diving into other things like Garou Mao, Kof, and everything. Like if it's a fighting game, I'm gonna play it. Like Guilty Gear Strive is a wonderful game. I'm not good at Guilty Gear, but I love playing it. So that's kind of where I am with that one.
Same. I like Guilty Gear. I played Potemkin in that game. That game is so easy for people to get involved in, but I still feel like people are complaining about it. And I'm like, the only thing I complain about is Soul Bad Guy being so good.
I think Soul Bad Guy suffers from the same thing that Scorpion suffers. You're the face of this game. Even though technically Scorpion's not the main character, that's Liu Kang. But Scorpion is the face of MK. So they get the best things ever. Mm. And he has any and everything. Exactly.
And then it just waits for you to either get counter hit and then you're dead.
Yeah, he's that one touch guy. Like, but Strive for me is a really good game because it strips away a lot of things. And it allows more access for me. And I'm playing, I use, I can't remember her name now, but the new chick.
Giovanna.
Yeah, Giovanna. I use her because she's so straightforward and simple. She plays like a Third Strike character, like 3-hit combos, 4-5-hit combos. But if you know what you're doing, you get more in depth and you can use the Roman councils too. She just fits so well into my gaming pocket. And I always wanted to pick up Eddie and I used to use him a little bit in Double X. But I just couldn't get good with him. So I'm waiting for a new kit. Hopefully they bring in Jam and Slayer and I'm good to go. I need that. And Testament, those three characters, Jam, Slayer, and Testament, and I'll be happy. But that's probably not going to be down to like season 2 or 3. But we'll see.
How do you think the game is doing so far?
How do I think? In terms of enjoyment for me personally?
In terms of enjoyment and just in terms of like, you know, people talking about the game. Because I feel like people still talk about the game. You got Leffen that's doing tournaments. You got loads of different other people that are doing tournaments.
Yeah.
Cheesy K is still making content for the game and stuff like that as well. Like, I feel like the game is good, but I do feel like there's something missing with this game. I can't put my finger on it. Like, I love it, but it definitely feels like there's something missing.
I think people have an issue with Strive against Exard because people really liked Exard. Like, it's like it's like going from Mortal Kombat X to Mortal Kombat 11. They're both very good games in their own rights. And Mortal Kombat 11 really simplified things in comparison to X. And Strive definitely simplified things from Exar. It's become a lot more accessible for the new person. And I'm never going to say, oh, that's really bad. Because being accessible means you make more money, meaning we get more games. Typically. Yeah. So I think in terms of that, I'm a big fan of the accessibility. And as someone who was never, for me, really good at Guilty Gear games, I had my moments of like a month being really good and then it would just die out. So I think for Strive, it's been a lot more accessible and easier to play for me. And definitely in terms of the community, a lot of people still love that game. It's good. It looks fantastic. The music is really good. So I think there's still a lot of tournaments going on. There's still a lot of people playing the game. It's still doing really well in its sales. So I think a lot of people are looking at it and thinking, oh, it's not doing too well when it is, because they are in their bubble and looking at their friends saying, I don't really like it. Let's go back to play Dragon Ball. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I fully hear you still. It makes a lot of sense. Yeah, no, I echo that, man. I feel like the game is really fun. I just feel like sometimes FGC people sometimes like to pick on things. There's never the fine line of, oh, yeah, you know what, but we'll accept it. It's always, this ain't in there. Or,
FGC is very, very fickle. Very.
Yeah. Like, just let the game run, man. Just like, obviously, it's more simpler than the old school games. Remember, you know, we're going into a generation where everyone's in lockdown. We want them to play a game and learn the game. If remember, I never played other games, so I felt like they were just too difficult.
Okay.
I could have jumped in them properly. I'm talking about at the high level, though. Like, because I remember I could play Guilty Gear, that Double X, but I'm talking about at the high level.
I can play with my boys.
Yeah.
But that's how I feel about Tekken. For me, like I said, I grew up on Tekken. That has been my thing from day one. So I got really good sitting at home in the lab or just doing time attack or, you know, because that's all you had because there was no internet. You just had to sit at home playing it. So I got good at that. But then you go into the wider world and it's like, okay, cool. To this day, amongst the people that I play with, I'm still like top three, top five. But I also realize there is this wider world of the internet. And I would say I win 70 to 80% of the games that I play of my skill level. Okay, but is that other percentage of people who are just going to win. Like, they can get perfects on me whenever they want, kind of win. I know my levels. I know where I am.
It definitely makes sense. I feel like when it comes to Tekken is kind of stripped down from the other games. Because before, when you used to get rushed down and stuff, you can move out very quickly. You can move away, move in. Whereas Tekken 7 is more like, oh, if you keep on doing downfall ones or moves, you can kind of lock them down and keep them there. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of the tournament players, including myself, we're like, it's a bit hard to kind of like get out of the situation, but this also makes it easier for more other players to come in into the game. Whereas if it was Tekken 5 and manage just backdash Korean backdashing, I don't know how anyone's going to be able to get close. And I'm just going to be
the levels were bigger. Unless you've got an infinity stage, the levels were significantly bigger on 5. They kind of slimmed down in 4 and 6. Tag had a balance, but 7's levels are pretty condensed. But I think that's good. And I appreciate that as opposed to, say, Injustice, which the levels are the size of a field. And there's just a lot of long range. And I love the Injustice games. Injustice 2 is a fundamentally fantastic game that blends footsies and combos really well. But the problem with it, as everyone in FGC knows, is that the long range keep away game in that is too strong because the levels are so big. And like 90% of that cast is good at keep away. And that just ruins the fun for me. I want to be able to just kind of do what I want. I main Black Canary in Injustice 2. Against keep away, she ain't doing nothing. So it's like Black Canary and Robin were my best characters in that game. they're not long range in any way, shape, or form. So that fun element for me is taken away when I'm up against a Superman or a Captain Cold or Deadshot, for that matter. It is not fun doing that.
Yeah. Now that makes sense. So I just think like these games, they just kind of just slimmed it down so that everyone could kind of get involved and have fun in the game. So I feel like people complain, like I said, FGC complained about a lot of things, but it's like, if you want to play the old school game, just stick to the old school games. Yeah, like if
you're Melee's been going on for how long?
Right, because they said, oh, we like this game and we don't want to change. So if that can be the same thing for First Strike, that game is so old.
Still going on.
And, you know, but it's never been the same for any of the fighting games. You don't see people playing Soul Calibur 3 or playing Tekken 5. They just want to play the latest one and still complain about the latest one. And I feel like Guilty Gear kind of falls into that bracket because obviously we had rollback on Guilty Gear XX. It's like, oh, yeah, well, that's an old game.
I think with Tekken and Soul Calibur, not so much Guilty, but definitely they had a slow progression of change. Tekken, really and truly, as far as I'm concerned, hasn't changed its fundamental format. The moves that they have are typically the same with updated graphics and, you know, more fluidity. And the combo system is more or less the same. It's always been about juggles. How you do the juggles is different. Like, I think the biggest change you've got is from 6 to 7. Like, that is the biggest change because the moves changed and the properties changed. So that was the difference. Whereas I think games like, say, Street Fighter, they're still the same. But Guilty Gear movesets change a lot, at least in my experience, in their games and how they work game to game. Like, how each button is different, if that makes sense. So I think that's why, like, between Melee and, say, Smash 4 and Ultimate and Brawl, those differences were very much game to game. So you felt Melee was very different to Brawl, whereas Tekken, the change, if you look at Tekken to Tekken 7, you see the difference. Whereas if you're going from 1, 2, 3, there's only small changes in between of those games.
Yeah. Like, this is the thing. I feel like the changes, like, for Tekken especially, the moves are usually, they usually look the same with some of the characters, or they're just remixed some way.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
That's what it usually is. In terms of Smash, to be honest, to me, they look the same. But I don't know. Like I said, there might be an underlined rule that, you know, there's different things. It does look the same to me. When I look at Smash Ultimate, there's bare stages. There's so many stages. So I don't know.
Do you play Ultimate at all?
I want to get involved, but it's like, I have to get Smash Pass 1 and Smash Pass 2 and
And I'm 3. Looking at,
yeah,
it's monies. It is monies. So I have Smash and I've got all the characters. And I will tell you this. I'm not a Smash player by any way, shape, or form. I have the game and I love the game. Yeah. But do not ask me to do anything on that game besides press buttons. And I understand how fighting games work. That is what I do with Smash Bros. Like, cool, combos are here. Here's grab. Here's block. Blah, 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 blah. That's how I play Smash, with fundamentals. I do not understand the combo structure in Smash, bar Little Mac and Snake. Other than that, dude, you're not going to see any combos from me. But I appreciate the skill level that goes into Smash and the fact they've got, what, over 60, 70 characters in that game and the amount of licensing they needed to do for their guest characters. I appreciate the business of Smash Ultimate so much. And that's why I likened it to, well, Tekken. I liken Tekken 7 to Smash Bros. Because Tekken 7, for the high-profile game that it is, they got Geese. They had Akuma from Street Fighter, its eternal arch rival, as part of its actual story.
Yep,
it changed the game.
I feel like it was long overdue that they'd done stuff like this, because I feel like, you know, I think Dead or Alive done it with Master Chief as well.
Yeah. But it was a Spartan. It wasn't Master Chief. It was a Spartan that was in there.
It was a Spartan.
But the fact is, they still got it in there. And I think Mortal Kombat, NetherRealm, since 9, they've been doing so well with their guest characters. Because in 11, what you've got Terminator and Rambo, before you had Jason and Leatherface. And their licensing game is strong. It helps that they're owned by Warner Brothers, or at least were owned by Warner Brothers. Now they've changed. Yeah. So with AT&T doing stuff, we'll see what happens with that, hopefully. And the Harry Potter game, that's going to be adjusted at least somewhat now. I'm not a Potterhead, but the game looks good, and I'm interested in the Potter universe. So that game seemed like it would be something that was really good. So that changged, but I mostly care about NetherRealm when it comes to that, to be fair, how that's going to work.
Definitely.
But yeah, I think, you know, we've been here for a while. We tried to make it a short one, went on for a bit longer. But yeah, how you feeling? Did you enjoy the episode?
Yeah, no, like it feels like I could talk on for ages. It's like there's a lot of, obviously it's good because we've never spoke about things. So this is the first time, and it's like we're both just rolling off, and the energy and the synergy's there.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's amazing. Like, you know, like it's good. And it's like
before
this, I was actually tired and I was like, yeah, no, we're gonna do it, we're gonna do it. And every time we talk about something, it's like, yeah, like the fire just comes in. I'm like, yeah. I say, it's good, man. It's proper good to have this type of conversation. And just like, yeah, we got to do it again, man. I'm
always ready for this. Like if we're doing on this episode, as we are right now, we're doing something for you directly. That's cool. That's great. Where can the people find you?
All right, cool. So for me, people say they don't really do this social media stuff. Obviously, this is my generation. I'm 32, so my generation is like, oh yeah, we don't really do social media.
I'm definitely on social media.
definitely have to be on to do what's going. So what I wanted to do, I wanted to stream. So first off, Twitch is twitch.tv/KingJAE, Twitter KingJAELDN, YouTube KingJAETV. Mm-hmm. I've got Instagram and TikTok, which is both KingJAELDN. So yeah, I'm going to be doing a lot more content on TikTok, guys. Going to like help people with content creation and stuff like that. I don't really get down with the TikTok dances and all of that stuff. Like,
no, I've done one dance, and that was with the video, and it's very simple when he's just this, and that was very comfortable for me. And I was wearing my Deadpool mask and everything. So it was just like, it was very normal. Like, but no, my TikTok is just full of literally all I talk about is nerdy stuff. Generally revolving on Marvel, DC and whatever. But if it's nerdy, I'm there. And that's what the podcast is for. Just bringing people together, holding that conversation. And it's been wonderful to be able to talk about video games on the podcast thoroughly. Specifically fighting games, but it's been great.
Yeah.
But I have been DS Pyro, AKA Blake King. My co-host for today has been King Jay. Thank you so much for joining another episode of the Nursing Good Podcast. You guys enjoy the rest of your day and have a good life. Peace out.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.